Seek freedom and become captive to your desires. Seek discipline and find your liberty. Seek freedom and become captive to your desires. Seek discipline and find your liberty. While it sounds like a passage of scripture from Proverbs, this is actually a quote by Frank Herbert, the science fiction writer who wrote the Dune series, if any of you are familiar. But it's one of my favorite quotes because it talks about a real truth that I think we miss in our day and age of sort of go out and find yourself. Discipline is actually the path to freedom. The problem with our society is that discipline is often misunderstood and thus missed out on. Honestly, when I hear the word discipline, my sort of internal gut image that comes to mind is a Catholic school where there are nuns running around and hitting kids' hands with rulers. For some of us, discipline may equal our justice or criminal system. You see, we hear the word discipline, but oftentimes we translate that as punishment. For us, discipline equals punishment. But this is not at all the real meaning of the word discipline. Discipline actually means the intention of focusing ourselves, refining ourselves, growing and becoming all that we truly are through sacrifice. And the root of the word sacrifice simply means to make holy. We're intentional with all that we are so that we can become our best selves. Look, to become a great athlete, artist, school teacher takes great sacrifice. It takes discipline. And Romans chapter 12, verse 6 tells us that the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. So in the kingdom of God, discipline is a good thing. In fact, to follow Jesus' discipline is to be Jesus' disciple. Discipline, disciple, same word. And so our gospel today is Jesus' unpacking of and explaining what it means to be his follower, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. But if we don't look at it from that lens, it's going to come across as Jesus is being mean, selfish, violent, and even disconnecting. But that's not his purpose. So we're going to walk through this a little bit, and I'm going to give you at least my take on it. The first thing that Jesus talks about being his disciple, following his discipline, is that the road is not always going to be easy. There will be resistance and persecution. If it happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to his apostles. It'll happen to us. Now, Soren Kierkegaard was a Norwegian theologian who was a little extreme, and he had a great quote. He said, "If you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and someone isn't trying to kill you for it, then you're doing it wrong." I think Soren was a little extreme, so I'm going to back us off of that. But the truth is that for some of us in this community directly have faced the threat of life for their Christian faith. Our beloved Zabane family is here particularly because of the persecution that Christians had in Egypt. So while that may not be our experience, we have to acknowledge that even in our community, that is true for some. Now, for most of us, that persecution will be subtle. It'll be indirect. It'll be more of a call not to follow Jesus than a direct command to. But we have to acknowledge and be aware that this life, while it is the best life, it is not the easy life. But it certainly is the good life. But here's the thing. We are then told to not fear. And Jesus says, so have no fear of them. Do not be afraid. And ultimately what he's saying in this part of the scripture is that we are so beloved by God that our belovedness becomes the foundation for our fearlessness. And he gives this beautiful example. He says, even the hairs of your head are counted. So God loves us, and we can live into our fearlessness as Jesus' disciples because love loves self, loves us. And so from belovedness, we can be fearless. Now we get to the first line that if we read it a little superficially, it becomes a little, what's he saying there? This line, everyone therefore who acknowledges me, I will acknowledge, but those who deny me, I will deny. Jesus is not being prescriptive here. He's being descriptive. And let me explain. This is really a continuation of what he says in the Gospel of John. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. The branches cannot live apart from the vine. Our true identity, our life, is intimately wrapped up and connected to Jesus. So when we acknowledge that truth about ourselves, that who we are is intimately tied up into who Jesus is now and always, well then by extension, Jesus will know us. But if we choose to let go of our true identity, well then we're the ones who've walked away, not Jesus. But ultimately to me, a disciple means that we are to wrap ourselves up in our true identity, which is intimately tied to who Jesus is. The next line, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. So let me clearly articulate that this is not a call to violence in the slightest. What Jesus came to do and still does is to redeem the world into what God always meant it to be. So ultimately, God's plan is to create the world as it always was, a new Eden, if you will. And that is what will ultimately happen. God wins. But in Jesus showing up, he brings a disruption to a less than world. And so he sort of came to clean up the mess. And that's not the easiest of things. So this is connected to the next phrase when he says, for I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Let me give you a little contextual history that makes a little more sense of this. In Jesus' day and age, who you were, your identity, was directly connected to what family you came from. In fact, family isn't the right word. It's really tribe. And remember, there were the tribes of Israel. So if you were in this tribe, people knew you as one way, and your connections were in that tribe. If you were in this tribe, it was something else. If you were in this tribe, it was something else. But each tribe had its own identity, and the commitment to the tribe was above everything else. So to these tribes, Jesus comes and brings a sword. So that what we have is we have people who acknowledge and live into the kingdom of God, and those who have yet to understand their identity in Christ. So, of course, in a world of tribalism, Christ kingdomism is going to look like a disruption. It's going to look like it is tearing families apart. But notice this. The scripture does not say, actually, here's what, it is possible, according to Matthew, to love God and love family equally. I also need to unpack here for you that love in Jesus' context here is not an emotion. We're not talking about ooey-gooey feelings. Love is about loyalty, commitment, fidelity, trust. And so Jesus is saying, put me and God above all else. Commit, have loyalty to God above all else. And then everything else is possible. Because when we connect to the God of abundance, of connection, then all connections are possible. So this is not a call to hatred or disconnection. It's actually a call to real connection, first with God and then everyone. And then we get to probably one of my favorite lines because it's so cryptic. Take up your cross, lose your life, find your life. Now, you and I are, you know, we're really kind of comfortable with the idea of a cross, but in that day and age, that would be abhorrent, this visceral instrument of death that Jesus would ask them to take up. So here's what it means for us, and it meant for them as well. Ultimately, taking up your cross does not mean simply surviving hardships. The truth is, there is a life in each one of us that needs to die. And that life that needs to die is sometimes referred to as the shadow self, the false self. It's the self that works for a while, but ultimately is not who we truly are. It's the self that's run by our consumerism, our egoism, our insecurities, our angers. There's an aspect of us that needs to die so we can live into our kingdom self, our Jesus self, the fullness of who we truly are. And so when we pick up our cross and surrender that life, allowing it to die, when we let go of that life, then we actually find our true life. So this is the life of being a disciple, of following Jesus' discipline. We will have hardships, but ultimately we are so beloved that we can be fearless. We're going to wrap ourselves up in Jesus because that's where our strength and hope and our support will come from. It won't always be easy, but it's for a better purpose, the kingdom of God. And when we decide to let go of those things that we are not truly, that aren't truly us, we'll discover who we truly are and whose we truly are in Jesus' eyes in the kingdom of God. A buddy of mine once said, I think he'd just become an Episcopal priest. We were at the summer camp I grew up at, and we were walking down to the bonfire, and he goes, "All that Jesus wants is everything you got." And it's true, and it's scary. All that Jesus wants is everything we've got. But here's what we'll discover. When we let go of our false selves, we're going to find that God will give us everything we need and everything we could possibly imagine. It's not the easy life, but it is the good life. And so following Jesus' discipline, being his disciple, will free us. It's a life quite possibly worth dying for, but most certainly it's a life worth living for. It's a life of joy, of connection, of belovedness, and not fearing. It's a life of freedom. Freedom from everything, including ourselves.